This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network.
I'm sick with this, I'm sick with this. Since you wasn't a part of my judgment, my own sweet time didn't teach what I found. I didn't recognize simple things anymore. I don't want to be defeated, I don't want to be defeated, I don't want to be defeated.
My sinners, welcome back to another episode of the podcast. It's called Lead Singer Syndrome. I'm your host, Shane Told, as always, as I take you into the backstage conversations that I have with other lead singers about what it's like to be the front man or front woman of a band. And we have a great, great, great episode today with guitar player, front man, jokester, Mr. Zach Wild. Is on the show. You might know him from Black Label Society, his time in Ozzy Osbourne, Zach Sabbath, his solo stuff. He's got a lot going on, and it was really, really awesome that I could literally go backstage to the great venue of Rebel in Toronto, sit with him, and chat about all kinds of stuff. Thank you, Zach, for doing this. Thank you to Ola for setting this up, and this is a great episode. I cannot wait for you guys to hear this one. Before we get into that, I just want to say thank you again for being here. I hope you're subscribed. If you're not, hit the subscribe button. If you want to get in touch with me, if you got any suggestions for future guests, anything like that at all, if you just want to say hello, feel free. Email address is leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. We're on social media as well, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Check out all that stuff. Great Meme Monday this week on Facebook. Shout out to Neil. Just hung out with Neil, actually. Great dude. He is one of three people in charge of the Facebook, so yes. Check it out and make sure you go and like the page. Thanks to everybody who listened last week to a great episode I had with my buddy Frank Turner. Go back and listen to it if you missed that one. In fact, you know what? We got like 150, 140. What are we up to, 145? I think this is 145 episodes you can go back and listen to. Check them out. There is some great stuff in there. And once you're done listening to all those back episodes and you need more, we do have an option for you. It is called the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club. And it is what helps me keep this show going, keep this show growing, keep the lights on around here. It really is important, which is why I plug it pretty much every week. And for as little as $6 a month, it gets you in, it gets you to unlock the bonus episodes that we have, sometimes with non-lead singers, sometimes with lead singers, other industry people. Of course, it gives you access to an amazing community with like-minded individuals just like yourselves, just like me and you. We all chat on Facebook. I do Q&A sessions. We got merchandise going to your house. In fact, if you want merchandise, the only way to get it is through being a member of the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club. And again, did I mention it's only $6 a month to start? So check that out. Again, the link is leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. That's it. It gets you in. See, I'm not going to make you choose between coffee and access to this amazing community and amazing episodes and amazing everything else. However, it really is only $6 a month. So if you cut out just one gourmet coffee a month, that's all it takes. Okay? And I think everybody, you know, coffee, it's nice. I like it in the morning, but sometimes maybe you don't need it every single day. Then maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you do need it. Regardless, it's $6 a month. The link, leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. Check it out. Other news with me, I'm going on tour with my band Silverstein very, very shortly. We're doing a tour with Anti-Flag over in Europe. Tickets on sale for that right now. And then later on in November and December, we will be in America and Canada doing our first record, When Broke is Easily Fixed, from start to finish, including also a greatest hits bonus set. And we're also bringing out a violin player. He's going to come out and do violin, some cello, some additional keyboards and singing and guitar. And he's going to be our sixth member, which is going to be very cool, something we've never done before. And there's a lot of violin on that first record. I listened to it, thought I'd, you know, go back and see what we did 15 years ago. there's a lot of violin, so I'm very happy we're being faithful to the original record. So tickets on sale for that now. Check it out. They're selling very fast, but they're still available for almost all the shows, I think. Again, the link, whenbrokeniseasilyfixed.com. Football season is here. It is upon us. Literally all the teams I wanted to win yesterday lost. Hey, you know, it is what it is. We have a new sponsor. They're called Game Time. It's a great app, a great platform to get all the best tickets for all the sporting events, concerts, everything at the last minute. More about that later in the program, but shout out to Game Time for being on board. And I will say, I love the things we advertise on this show. They're always things that I think are relevant, things I think are important. If you have a product, if you work for a company or anything you think makes sense on this show, feel free to hit me up, email me. I'd love to hear about it because not only does it help the show, but it's also great for people to hear about great new products. And there are so many these days. So I'm just going to throw that out there. All right, well, it's time. Let's not waste any more time. Here's my conversation with the always entertaining and incredible Zach Wilde.
One more of those? There you go. That works. You're in a good mood today. How are you doing, Zach?
I feel wonderful.
That's great to hear.
I just shaved my legs, and I didn't break any razors, so I'm very thankful.
Perfect.
That's why I'm in such a good mood.
And where were you guys last night?
Last night, we were in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Beautiful.
So we had a day off. It was nice. We all went out for a nice Doom Crew Incorporated meal last night. I guess it was, our COC brethren and our I Hate God guys.
Cool.
You know, which I had to say at the table. I said, God bless everybody, even for the guys that hate God. God bless you. But and then I asked Pepper, Father Keenan. I said, Pepper, can you please pass the pepper? I enjoyed that one. I enjoyed it. My wit was quick last night.
And where does a crew like Black Label Society and the other bands, where do you go for dinner on a day off? Where's your spot?
Usually, we all go to Chippendales, and we all enjoy it thoroughly. And then,
perfect.
And also I get up, I do a couple dances myself, because
for
per diem money for the
if
fellas.
If you're shaving your legs, you know, you're going to be up anyway.
Oh, so yeah, razors add up.
It works. And I heard that something got stuck at the border, truck, something like that?
Yes, the truck got stopped at the border, and they were wondering what all the oil was for. And obviously, we grease ourselves up before we go up on stage to bring out, you know, the lighting, to bring out all the hard work and the cardio and everything like that. And the
it's
inner thigh stretching.
How do you get those poles when you're greased up, though?
It gets a little hard up on stage, a little slippery. You know what I mean? But but you know, you take that risk for the art and for the show.
For the art. Absolutely, for the art. Well, dude, it's good to have you, man, and welcome to Toronto. It's, you know, city I know and love. And I mean, what a career you've had. I'm sure you have a lot of memories just of Toronto.
I explain that to the wife every morning when we wake up, and I look into her beautiful green eyes, and she looks at me, and I say, you're the lucky winner. I remind her every night. So, you know, after 33 years, I go, aren't you glad you hit the jackpot?
Right. A family man. I know you have, is it four kids you have?
Yeah.
And how old are they now?
26, 25 on August 12th this month. Our oldest, it's girl and three boys. So, then 16 and then six.
Wow.
All out of the same woman.
What a range.
Because everyone always asks, is this your third, fourth marriage? You know what I mean?
No.
Being that we're in the music business, you know what I'm saying? So, you know. But, no, it's all out of the same woman. I mean, just, pretty much like out of our next door neighbors growing up with the Smiths. I remember they had six boys, five girls. And Scotty was my buddy. And this is when we were like 12. His oldest brother was 44 years old. And it's all out of Mrs. Smith. I remember my friends used to say, oh, my God, are they Catholic? It's just like, actually, yes, they are. But, yeah, so, no, but, yeah, because the gap between our kids is 20 years.
Man. Yeah.
So wild. our daughter could actually walk around and, you know, be like, oh, is that your son? It's like, no, that's my little brother. But the best was when we... Barb actually got pregnant when we were having Sabbat Paige. The kids, you know, the older kids were just like, this may be the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life. Well, you don't want to really know that your parents are having sex, you know?
Sure, yeah. Well, I'm born on my parents. I'm born exactly 9 months after my parents' anniversary. So I can convince myself they have sex once a year on their anniversary. And that's it.
Well, see. Yeah, that's great. Well, there you go. No,
right?
Otherwise, it never happened.
You'd never know.
The stork, if you have any brothers who said the stork came for that. Yeah, and just dropped them off at the front porch. Or nowadays, a drone.
who knows? But, you know, you're busy. You're a busy guy. A lot of projects. I want to talk about them all or as many as we can get to. Ozzy, Black Label Society, Zach Sabbath, solo touring that you do. How has it been having a successful family, 33 years of marriage, 4 beautiful children, and being able to balance this just with your rigorous tour schedule?
I think, you know, I mean, it's like with anybody, you know, it's just like, oh, well, how do you tour or whatever? Yeah, the reason why you have posters of Jimmy Page up on the wall is because that's what you want to do with your life. You know what I mean? So the whole thing is, I thank the good Lord every day for everything I got. I mean, you know, I'm truly blessed that I get to do what I love doing, and I get to put food on the table for my family. So, I mean, the whole thing is, you know, anybody's just like, whenever I run into parents, they're like, hey, you got any advice for my kids or anything like that? They want to get into music. I go, yeah, well, I go, look it. Who wants to work at some crummy job? I go, you want to do music the rest of your life? I go, then make the band your job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Jimmy Page did. I mean, like, look at it. It's just Led Zeppelin isn't like, you know, his weekend hobby. I mean, that's his entire life.
Right.
And still to this day, as we're talking right now, Led Zeppelin is his life. You know what I mean? And you know, the Yardbirds and everything that came before. But I mean, he looks over, he's the caretaker of the whole Led Zeppelin entity. You know what I mean? There will be no bogus recordings coming out of Led Zeppelin when all is said and done. No, he's just make sure that, you know, as the caretaker of the whole thing, it's just that it's presented properly and it's restored and it's taken care of. So, I mean, it's a living, breathing thing. So, I mean, I'm just saying, but you either are all in and, you know, it's just, put it this way, when I had jobs when I was a kid, those were just a means to an end. Like, whether I was working in the produce section at the supermarket, working at the gas station, you know, pumping gas, or I would prefer it as a petroleum transfer specialist.
Right.
But,
well, in New Jersey, that's a real job because you can't pump your own gas.
Yes.
So you need those people.
Exactly. So, I mean, but the whole thing is, I never looked at that like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this with the rest of my, as a career. You know, whether I'm flipping burgers at, you know, a burger stand or whatever. It's just like, we're doing that so me and you can save up so we can buy guitars and drums and then we'll get a van and we'll get a U-Haul and then we'll start doing this.
Right.
And start building the band. And I always tell kids, I said, if you're not practicing, if you don't have your instrument in your hand and you're not jamming, you should be working on the merchandise, the artwork, the everything.
Yeah.
You just be all in. And it should never happen in a case where you're like, man, I can't believe we sold millions of records and I live in a box down by the river. You know what I'm just saying? Because that's
what happens.
Well, I know, but that's nobody's fault but your own.
Right. Hey.
No, I mean, you should be on top of everything. And as much as, you know, even being a kid, you know, I mean, the whole thing is you go, yeah, but I don't want to be involved with the business or the this and that. I go, but you're not if you make the band your job. I mean, if we had a pub, an Irish pub, instead of being drunk every day, I mean, me and you would just make sure that we're on top of it. Whereas like the beers are $1 a beer and there's only $80 in the cash register, we're $20 shy. So somebody's either pocketing some money or the drunk bartenders forgot to put $20 in it. I'm just saying you're on top of your business.
Right. No, I mean, it's very well documented that you as a young, very young child, that seems like your school of thought. I mean, I heard you practiced hours a day till you basically fell asleep with a guitar in your lap.
and woke up and did it again. And,
yeah, no, I mean, but the whole thing is like, I mean, I think if I would have done anything differently, and, you know, I wasn't blessed with having Ozzy in my life and our Black Label family and everything like that, I would have taken business classes in school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like things that would have applied to what we're doing now. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Then I was just, it was just more concerned with like, well, the music. And, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, when you really think about it, if you're involved with the whole thing, yeah, of course, me and you, we own the New York Yankees. We are involved.
That'd be nice.
Aside of the trades, you know what I mean?
I'm just
saying, aside of the trades, free agency, and then us going down to check out the farm system to see new players, or we heard about some kid in high school that's an amazing pitcher. He's in the next Nolan Ryan or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Me and you were flying out to go see him, meet with the kid's parents or whatever. You know what I mean? But we're also involved with making parking down to making parking at the stadium better, making the restaurants in the stadium better. Now me and you were talking about putting condominiums and apartment buildings in the stadium. And I mean, down to the way the grass is mowed at the stadium. Me and you have a grocery list of domination every day when me and you were having some Valhalla Java in the morning, just figuring out how we can make everything better.
Ultimately, that's what happens in a music career. You start out, and I love your baseball analogy, you start out as a kid in the minors. And then eventually, maybe you become, you go through a great career, maybe you become a coach, maybe you become a general manager, maybe you become president of the team,
yeah,
maybe you become an owner. Look at someone like Magic Johnson.
I mean, well, look at,
and that's as a
exactly.
band, how you apply it to
Well, that's why I tell everybody with me with the Wild Audio, with my own guitar company. You know, you start off as a player, then you become a coach, then a general manager,
yeah,
then vice president
yeah.
of operations. And the only next logical step for me and you is to be team owners. Like if
there
we played
go.
For the Yankees all those years and we had, you know, we had like Derek Jeter, he had a great career. He did everything. He's a Hall of Famer and the whole nine yards. Then he wins a World Series with the Yankees as a coach. Then he wins as a general manager. And then he's vice president of operations. The only next logical step for him would be team owner.
Well, he went right to that in Miami, right?
Yeah, but exactly.
yeah,
but
I mean,
what I'm just saying.
I totally get it.
You know, now me and you own the Milwaukee Brewers, and now our goal is to
take everything
that we learned throughout all our years with the Yankees and apply that to our own franchise.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, we worked at McDonald's all these years. We worked flipping burgers, doing the fries, making sure the place is clean, making sure the bathrooms are clean. I mean, I'm just saying, so there's an A-plus sign out in front of that door every day. Then eventually me and you were managing the McDonald's. And then eventually me and you start White Castle. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's just the progression of how things go.
And shout out to White Castle for having the Impossible Burger. It's a good step.
It's good.
Anyways,
stuff,
man. So let's talk about music and let's talk about just, you know, here you are. The podcast is called Lead Singer Syndrome. I speak to lead singers. I very rarely get a chance to talk to an accomplished guitar player like yourself, someone that's known more for guitar playing than singing. So, you know, obviously we can talk all about your early life.
I mean, and you know, as far as the lead singer disease goes,
yes,
I've kicked myself out of this band several times. And
knock yourself down a peg. But
but then I merrily get back up there and annoy the hell out of everyone once again within a matter of seconds.
Inevitably, you're back. Yes.
Yeah, I'm out of the band for seconds. Then I come right back in.
Well, how did you get into singing? Because I know you practiced as a kid playing guitar. You step in. I mean, it's a beautiful story. I mean, stepping in to Ozzy. I mean, basically stepping into filling the biggest shoes there were to fill in Randy Rhoads and playing his solos faithfully. And
Jake, let's not forget Father
Jake.
And Jake,
two great albums,
yes,
that did with him as well.
The first of the guitarists there, for them, who I am also a huge fan of.
But, you know, so you came in at what was you, 20 when you did that?
No, 19 years old.
Insane. And that's great. And
right before
you had an incredible career everyone knows about. But when did you decide, I want to sing?
No, but I always sang when we were doing like cover band. You know, me and you
yeah.
having our cover bands back in.
Well, sure, everyone fucks around
when
everyone
we were
sings 16. In the shower, but there's a big difference between that.
No,
and
no,
doing
no.
It on
I,
a record.
You know, we sang in the bands when we were doing. You know, when we had Stonehenge and we were playing keg parties and everything like that for all our buddies. But no, we'd end up doing Ozzy, Sabbath, Hendrix, Cream. You know, so I mean, when we were doing all that stuff, I was always singing. You know what I mean? So. No, I just enjoy it. I mean, I get as much fun out of writing lyrics as I do when I'm writing the solos. You know what
yeah.
I mean? When we're sitting down doing a record. You know, it's just, to me, it's just like building the house, you know, like when we're writing a song, when we're recording it. So you do the basics. That's the foundation of the house. Then we start, you put the bass down and the guitars. Those are the walls and the ceiling. And then, you know, once you come up with the melody, that's the paint. And then you put the lyrics together. That's the furniture. And then the house is done. So, I mean, you know, and it's a whole process. So, I really enjoy the whole thing of watching this thing come to life.
But just as a musician and as somebody so gifted at guitar, to just be like, well, I'm going to sing now. Was there any hesitation with that? Like putting yourself out there and something that
I've always enjoyed doing it, but I also, you know, I've been blessed with obviously being in a band with Ozzy, and all the bands I was in before, I've always had a great time rolling with the fellas. So
yeah.
I've never been in a band where I was just like, here, Frank, hold my espresso before I go break Tom's legs. You know, I've never been in a band like that. So yeah, because we all hung out, and if one of the guys didn't roll with us all the time, just because he'd rather stay at home,
yeah,
or you know, stay at the, we'd always let him know where we're going or whatever. And if you want to come out later, well, that's where we'll be. But no, we always everybody always enjoyed hanging out with each other. So I mean, the whole thing is, and being with Ozzy too. You know, I mean, Oz is. I mean, it's nothing but a comedy fest all the time. It would be, I always say it was a miracle any work ever got done. But I mean, the whole thing is Ozzy's super cool. And, you know, being the legendary guy that he is,
yeah.
There's no, he just doesn't have time for games. It's just like, let's just do this and go home. You know what I mean? It's just like, I don't have any time for drama, man. I mean, you know, I mean, any of the drama that we'd always have was when we were drinking and whatever yeah. shenanigans were going on. You know what I mean? But as far as like doing the gigs and having to be somewhere and do something, it's just like, let's just do this, get it over with so we can get back to the pub and we can get back to business. You know what I mean? So I wasn't going to go from that either and go to some singer who's dictating what's going to happen in the band. You know what I mean?
Right.
I got buddies that are just at, you know, that have to deal with that. So, I mean, the whole thing is...
So you're aware of lead singer syndrome or lead singer disease, as you called it, and you're I don't have it. I'm going to be the singer, and then
yeah.
that's not a problem.
Yeah, exactly. So, like I said, I've kicked myself out of the band there several times, and, you know, but I merrily joined the band again just to annoy everyone once again.
We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsor, but we'll be right back with more with Zach Wilde. I just used this awesome new ticket app called Game Time, and I want to tell you about it. Game Time is the top destination for last-minute tickets to live events, sports, music, and all kinds of shows. Over 8 million people across the U.S. and Canada, including me, are already using the app. Unlike traditional ticketing companies who overwhelm you with so many choices and so many steps, the Game Time app shows you only the best values and makes buying tickets incredibly fast and easy. You can literally check out in two taps, and tickets are sent directly to your phone. And to make selecting tickets even easier, Game Time shows you an actual high-res photo of the view directly from your seat. Everyone knows the prices for some concerts and baseball games can drop way down at the last minute. Game Time makes it easy to get these last-minute deals. You can literally stand outside the stadium in the parking lot, wait until the game starts, and get these killer deals. No worrying about printing anything out. Everything is done right through your phone. I just bought some Detroit Tigers tickets for tomorrow. It really couldn't have been any easier. The app is so intuitive. It was done on my phone in seconds. I got a great deal. I didn't even buy them last minute. So whatever you need, make sure you don't skip over Game Time. And, of course, we got a promo code. This is good. For $15 off your first purchase, visit usegametime.com/LSS and use promo code LSS. Again, for $15 off your first purchase, visit usegametime.com/LSS. usegametime.com/LSS and use promo code LSS.
Well, and speaking of your singing and stuff, your new record, Grimmest Hits.
Yes, which there are no hits on. That's the reason why it's not called Greatest Hits.
And I absolutely
because first
love...
off, if you're going to have a Greatest Hits record, first off, you have to have hit songs, and then they have to be great. We have neither. Nothing's great about this record either. So, I mean, that's why it's grim.
I disagree with you.
See, but we can't be accused of false advertising.
Well, one of the songs on there, going back to your voices, Season of Falter, track two, when it played the first time I heard it, I literally thought it was Ozzy. I thought it was Ozzy doing a guest feature.
Well, that's why we have Zach Sabbath as well.
That's right, and I want to get to that.
And I used to sing all the Sabbath songs on the Ozzy back when we were like 16, 17 years old when we did the cover bands.
It's crazy, though. Like, it's amazing how that... Is that something that you think just morphed into?
Well, people would always say, they go,
on
not only, Zach, is it amazing, because you love Sabbath, you love Ozzy with Randy and Jake and everything, and then you sound like the boss when you sing, but you can also drink like him as well. You know what I mean? Everyone, but that's because I went to Ozzy Osbourne University, where I majored with flying colors in alcohol consumption, and my liver and pancreas can attest to that.
That's right. That's right. And you're sober now, right?
Well, no. Well, I guess you can, whatever you want to label it. You know, I guess. But you know, I guess if sniffing glue and eating paint chips considers us sober.
Okay.
Put it this way: the results are astoundingly the same. I wake up with my pants around my ankles, and the fellas all remind me, well, you were hilarious last night, you know, so, but it is less calories. So, I mean, it does keep my slim, girlish Miss America figure, you know, tight and toned.
It's working out for you. It's good on those greased up poles, too. It looks great. big show tonight at Rebel. Make sure you're here. The thing you just said about having no hits on the record, the way your fan base is in Black Label Society, I don't think your fans want hits.
Well, that's good because they're never going to get any because we're not capable. No, but no, I think...
Do you know what I mean, though?
Yeah, I mean, put it this way. It's just, you know, like whenever anybody says, you know, like, oh, they sold out or this and that or whatever, I go, selling out is when you do something against your will. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When you're doing something. But like if somebody really, if you're like, no, dude, nobody had to, you know, stick a gun to our heads to convince us to do whatever, you know what I mean? Then it's not selling out. I mean, because if you're full in, all in, wholeheartedly, because you're like, dude, we really dig this stuff, man. Then that's where, there's no shame in that. Because you're into what you're doing. You know what I mean? It's just like Jimi Hendrix having Little Wing becomes a massive hit, and it's just like, oh, he sold out. It's like, no, that's just like actually a really good song. I don't know what to tell you, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it's like saying Elton John sold out. Yeah. How?
Well, of course,
last time I checked, they're just good songs, bro. I don't know what to tell you, man.
I mean, you can't blame an artist for being successful.
No, I mean, put it this way. When people say to us, they go, well, look at Black Label. They do dancing. They do choreography. They have costume changes. We enjoy it. We're all in.
Perfect.
You see what I'm saying? So there is no shame in costume changes or wearing fishnets for men. All right? We enjoy it.
And your fans, berserkers, as you affectionately call them, they're all in too.
That's what a berserker is. You're all in. You live life to the fullest. You wear your fishnets to the fullest. You shave your legs to the fullest. When you're washing dishes.
To the fullest.
To the fullest. You're a berserker.
That's right.
When you're anal bleaching appointment, you may not want to do it, but it's for the art.
You have to do it.
You do it.
Now, when you're washing dishes, do you prefer a sponge or more of a long-handled plastic device to wash dishes, personally?
I mean, either are good. I mean, you know, but put it this way, if I just get my nails done, I'll use the device where the handle and the soap is in there, and it just and then use the sponge so you don't, because you don't want it to ruin your nails, especially if you just had it done. But I mean, but otherwise I like to get my hands, well, it would be dirty, it would be clean, because obviously they're getting clean. See what happens when you
I
have
love a, to get my hands clean.
I have to get them clean. I was going to say dirty, but they're not getting dirty, they're getting clean.
This all-in attitude, is that aesthetic, you know, with the whole, you know, MC approach with your, you know, your merch and stuff? Is that something that you think gives that fan, the fans, this like Sons of Anarchy, like, we're really into this thing, like, you're in
no,
for
it
life?
Is, I mean, but it, I mean, the band's bigger than me. I mean, it's a mindset, and it's a, you know, it's a big, gigantic family, almost like, you know.
Yeah.
I always thought the Grateful Dead, the coolest thing about, you know, when I was a kid growing up, the Smiths, I told you, the next door neighbors, they must be Catholic. You know what I mean? They had 11 kids. They, Scotty, all his older brothers, you know, the ones that turned us on all the cool music, you know, Bad Company, Skynyrd, The Who, The Stones, you know what I mean? Like everything that we heard over there and Zeppelin and Sabbath and everything like that, that we found through, you know, Scott's older brothers, because that's what they were on, a steady diet of obviously classic rock. But I remember they were huge Deadheads, and I always thought the coolest thing was that, like, it was bigger than a band. It was like this living, breathing thing where, like, during the summers, they'd go make these road trips with the Dead. And it was just like all their friends would come from all over, whether it was from Philadelphia, out in Pennsylvania, up, some of their friends from Boston would come down. All over the place, from New York, and then they'd all meet down at the Smith's house in Jersey, and they'd all go road tripping for a week, going to see the Dead. You know, just like a complete, full blown road trip, whether they're sleeping in their vans or they're getting hotel rooms or whatever, or just sleeping on the side of the road. I mean, they're going to see the Dead and just making, it's not even a concert, it's an event. You know what I mean? So, and I just always thought, I go, wow, that is like the coolest thing ever, because it just brings people together. So, I mean, you know, same thing with Black Label now. I mean, it's at the point where it's, you know, somebody's wearing some Black Label stuff or they got the colors on or whatever. They're in a bar, and it's just like, oh, you go up and talk to them. You're like, Zach, I met Tom 8 years ago at he was in a bar. It wasn't even a Black Label concert. And then next thing you know, we became buddies, and then we were just, you know, next thing you know, he's the best man at my wedding. You know what I mean?
It's so crazy.
What I'm just saying is the band is what brought you together. You know what I mean? So it's just, like I said, it's a bigger thing than me and everything
like
that.
Dude, this podcast, cool. We have, you know, a fan club for this podcast. And all those people, 275 strong, they're all friends. They all have meetups all over the country, flying across the world, people flying from Australia to meet somebody in Texas to go to a show or whatever. And it's just,
it's a beautiful thing
that you can create something that is bigger than what you're creating. Ultimately, it's real life with real people, and that's rad.
Without a doubt.
There we go.
I enjoy it.
So I got to ask you about my favorite thing about your guitar playing, at least when I was younger, because I thought it was so rad.
JD enjoys the favorite part of my guitar playing before I pick it up and when I put it down. He says those are his two favorite parts.
Are you a real, like...
I said, what is it, the pentatonic scales or the diatonic scales? He goes, no, it's kind of like that. He goes, like, before you play the pentatonics and after you play the diatonics, you know, when you put the thing down and put it back in the case, that's usually my favorite part.
Well, that's not my favorite part, but the pinch harmonic, you know, the squeal, as people, you know, maybe outside the guitar world or even people in the guitar world still say squeal, that became a signature of yours. In fact, to the point where I think anyone that does it in any band, they reference you. It's your thing.
Quit annoying me. You sound like that mutant Zach Wilde. But I know it just...
But you have to be aware of that. And when did that... When was that something that you said, hey, I'm going to incorporate this because this isn't something a lot of guys do and it's cool?
It definitely, I agree with you. I think it overshadows my passion for dance, my passion for fashion, and, you know, the fishnets, the high heels, the stilettos, the rouge, the eyeshadow, making sure it all flows. I mean, I think it overshadows that, you know, but the whole thing is, I accept it and I'm actually grateful. You know, but the whole thing is the pinch harmonics and all that stuff. I remember my guitar teacher, Leroy Wright, he ended up showing it to me when he was teaching me LaGrange, you know, with ZZ Top and stuff like that. I mean, I was just like, how is he getting that sound or what is that? You know what I mean? And, you know, and then when I learned it, and then, you know, when I started playing with Oz, it was just more on like the low strings. Where, you know, Billy, you know, the godfather of the pinch harmonics is obviously Billy Gibbons. So I mean, but the whole thing is Billy just did it on higher strings. You know, he does it on the low strings too, but I mean, you know, like LaGrange and everything is the high on the G string, the D string and the B and everything like that. But no, obviously I got it from that, and then in the studio you double them and it just, you know, I was just like, wow,
they really,
really
pop.
Cool.
Yeah. It's a way to instantly focus on a guitar, you know, because it's just all of a sudden it's like, what is that?
And, yeah, it's just like a little thing. But I mean, but that's where I got it from was my guitar teacher showing a Bill Gibbons leg, you know? That's cool. Where I got it.
That's there you go. I always wanted to ask you that. Another thing that you did that was pretty cool was working with now, I mean, one of the biggest actors in Hollywood, Mark Wahlberg, on the Rockstar movie.
Yes, which was an awesome time. And
yeah.
Mark's super cool. Jennifer was super cool. Steve Harris. I mean, everybody on that thing was, I mean, that was nothing but a great experience.
How did you get involved with that?
They came and I was recording. We were recording Stronger Than Death, and they came in the studio and they were like, "Hey, Zach," you know, they introduced themselves, the fellas that were working on the movie. And they said, "We wondered if you want to be in this movie." I was like, "Well, what is it I got to do?" And they go, "Well, you just, you know, you can play guitar, drink beer all day, lift weights, and then we're going to have you shooting shotguns out of the tour bus." I was like, "And you're going to pay me for this?" I was like, "All right, well, sign me up." So,
but you wrote the songs too, right? A lot of them on that?
No, actually, I didn't write any of the songs. The songs were already written that they wanted for the movie. They were just like, "Zach, can you record them?
I was like,
"Yeah, no problem." So, you know, or put your little two cents in on.
Okay,
so,
that's too bad. I had a question. What was it like writing a real record for a fake band? But I mean, somebody did it. You know, yeah. So, like somebody literally wrote a real record, because those songs are pretty cool.
No, without a doubt. Or, you know, you just approach it, you just write some cool songs and you go, "Here, let's stick them in a movie." You know what I mean? And then you just say they're for this fictitious band.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I appreciate you taking the time today in Toronto to do this. But I got to ask you about... There we go.
That was somebody's fallopian tube acting up again. We'll get that taken care of before the show. Ice it down.
That was loud as fuck. The final Ozzy tour, we're kind of in the middle of it now. No more tours. Great name.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to go for another 2 years. And okay. Talking about, you know, everyone's asking, they're like, "Well, what's going to happen at the end of this thing? What's the boss going to do?" I said, "Well, is this really the end? I mean, what are you going to do? No more tours 3, no more tours 4, no more tours 5. Just keep going." I go, "No, this is going to end when this has its run and we're done. But the boss is still going to continue singing." And then people are like, "Well, what is he going to do? Is he what's he going out? Is he going to change his name like Prince? He's like a symbol or something, you know?" And I said, "No, he's going to join Zach Sabbath." So it's Zach Sabbath featuring Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, perfect.
So it'll be kind of like an easy fit. We just slide him right in, and he's already familiar with the material.
Right.
And so it'll be fine.
Right. And then Blasco will go.
So it'll be basically Ozzy. It'll say,
"You'll get Geezer, Ozzy
Osbourne,
then you'll quit and
me,
get Tony."
Yes, and then I'm out, and we move, and then it's Zach Sabbath featuring the original members of Black Sabbath.
Yes, can we work that out?
A tribute band tributing themselves. Like right now, when Ozzy joins Zach Sabbath, it'll be Zach Sabbath featuring Ozzy Osbourne. It'll be me featuring me.
But I mean. And I know, you know, they play it up on TV how Ozzy's like this, you know, like that fucking Osbourne show where he's all like they make it seem like he's this old man that doesn't know his fucking head, you know.
Listen, just because Oz is going to be 70 years old and his liver is in dog years, you know, just, you know, age is just a number.
Right. So you think, well, ultimately this, they're saying no more tours. It's going to end. He's, you know, he's not going to be able to do this forever. Maybe he is, whatever. What is that? What's going to happen that last time that you're on stage with Ozzy? I mean, how is that going to feel? I don't know.
I mean, the whole thing is, I mean, like when we're up there doing it every night, you're in the middle of playing a game. You know what I mean? So like you're in the World Series, so you don't realize this is game 6 of the World Series and whatever, you know, yada, yada. You're doing it. So, you know, I guess,
but
you know,
saying,
you look back on it after it's all said and done. You know,
but my
I mean?
Question is, one day it will be game 7 of the World Series and it's going to be over.
Well, I guess I'll let you know when I get there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, until then, I mean, I always cherish every moment I have with him. You know, when we're up there on stage, I know how lucky I am and how blessed I am. So, but then, like once Ozzy said, "Let the madness begin," it's game on. You know what I mean? Like everything else goes kind of out the window and you're just doing what you do.
Totally. Totally. So there's a lot of Zach Wilde stories floating around. I'm sure some are true.
What?
Some are false.
That he's actually married.
Some.
That's just a big
some are
front.
Exaggerated. Well,
when the kids are actually mine. I've heard that one several times.
Yeah. I was
actually
just,
from the wife.
So what is your favorite thing you've heard about yourself that's just ridiculous?
Well, people say, they go, "Zach, what was it like the audition process? I heard you auditioned And that's how you got it. I go, well, no. I was actually Ozzy's drug dealer
okay.
at the time. And then Oz was like, I picked up a guitar. I was like noodling on a guitar. And Ozzy was like, I didn't know you played. I go, it's funny. I didn't know either. And he said, how about this? If you give me the drugs half off, I'll let you play in my band. And that's pretty much how it went down.
Perfect.
So it wasn't even an audition. I didn't even play with anybody. I was just right there on a spot in the band.
Right.
And we just did it. Now we're sitting here on this couch.
That's a beautiful story.
30 years later.
It's a beautiful story. What else do you think you're really good at that you've never done before?
Make love to my wife.
According to your kids, that's never happened. You're all adopted children.
I refer to it as making love. But it's more of basically like a Black Label genital plow fest steel cage match.
My goodness. That's aggressive.
It's just as romantic, though.
That's very aggressive. Well, what else is happening, man? You got a lot of things coming up. Talk about it. Are you going back out with Zach Sabbath? I know it's never come to Canada, right?
Well, we definitely want to do it, obviously, when we could, you know, fit it in. No pun intended.
Yes.
You know, but anyway, so... No, obviously we got like three Zach Sabbath World Tour shows coming up where we really don't go that far at all. You know, I mean, our last World Tour was three shows, and I think we drove a total of 28 miles for the World Tour. But but the whole thing is we never even left Southern California, but it was a World Tour. But I mean, but the whole thing is, oh, we got the Zach Sabbath shows coming up, and then we have, obviously, Back Out with the Boss, and then we have Generation X going on, and then another Black Label Fall Fashion Thong for Men line coming out right after that. But no, just, you know, so just a batch of stuff going on. So, I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way. You know what I mean? I mean, I said, just playing all the time. So, I mean, there's nothing. And then, like I said, when how you make it work, you have your family come out, and you know, you keep in touch with your kids all the time. I mean, that's what you kind of do. I mean, if me and you were, you know, working all day, if we were working at 4:30 in the morning, getting home at 6 at night, then me and you going out for something to eat, and then by the time we get home, you know, you see the kids, they're either sleeping or they're getting ready for school tomorrow. I mean, it's pretty much the same thing. Jonathan Winters, the famous legendary comedian, always said, you make sure you're there for all the important stuff as well.
Yeah,
you know, you're there for everything, but I mean, you always make sure you answer the bell for the important things. Well, you know, the graduations, the school recitals, all the good, you know, all the big things. You gotta be there for that. So I mean, but you make it work. You know, this is what we do.
Do you still practice guitar a lot?
Yeah, I love playing. I mean, every day.
Yeah,
and then you know, I figure you know, we have the big Black Label Tupperware Demolition Fest of locked in freshness and domination every night, you know, for the 2 hours that we're up there and then playing with the boss. But yeah, I still, like when we're not actually on the road, yeah, I pick it up all the time when I'm home, whether I'm running scales or even when you're listening to your favorite players, whether it's Frank Marino from Mahogany Rush or John McLaughlin or Al DiMeola, Paco de Lucia.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Jimmy Page or St. Rhodes or Tony Iommi or all the guys that I love. When you're listening, you're actually learning as well. So, you know, I mean, even when you're sitting there, all those years that we'd be sitting there in the sub, you know, after an Aussie gig, and then when it was a rolling Irish pub on wheels,
that's right.
You know, me and you would be sitting up front solving the problems of the world, having cocktails and listening to the Eagles or Neil Young or listening to whatever, and then Elton John records and just listening to the production. So you're constantly absorbing stuff all the time. You know, so whether you're listening to music, I mean, if you're not purposely thinking about it, you're just as you're listening, you're learning. So, and then, you know, I mean, I reference it all the time. It's like being a cook. When me and you've gone around the world and we've eaten different things, and I'm just saying, like, we go, you know, it would be cool if we put a little bit of this and mixed it with that and this and that. And then obviously, so, you know, like when we're making records and we're doing the mixing process, or even when I'm writing a song and I get to a certain part, like I remember, you know, in another song I had learned when I was 17 years old, like the bridge section, I always thought it was cool, the key change that it went to in this thing. And then you use it, that specific key change or whatever. And then, it works out. This is just knowledge you absorb. You know what I mean? And then it works the key change works great, and then all of a sudden you use a couple different chords in there, and it's a completely different thing now.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just a matter of me and you mixing, and because that's how you gain knowledge. You listen to all your favorite musicians and your favorite players and songwriters, and then you incorporate that when we're cooking our own meals.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. And I think one of my favorite things about your guitar playing is, other than the squeals, is your solos and just how they tend to be a song within a song. Well, Is that something that you strive to have every solo?
Well, yeah,
tell
I learned
a story?
That from obviously St. Rhodes, and then you know, obviously right. Neil Sean's another king of that. You know, where it's a melody, and then you know, there's some shredding in there, and then it's just and like you said, you look forward to it when the solo comes because it's part of the song. Or Hotel California, Stairway to Heaven. You know, I mean, it's part of the song. You know what I mean? And every St. Rhodes solo, I mean, I could actually play the solo, and you would name the song.
Right.
I mean, that's how iconic those solos
totally.
Are.
Totally. So that's, yeah, that's your push. It makes sense.
Know, yeah, that was obviously, I think, part of Randy's massive legacy is his
So do you think you got that from Randy Rhodes? Because he's definitely a guy that had incredible solos. I mean.
Yeah, no, I mean, everything. I mean, he constructed them.
You had to learn them all.
He sat and worked them out. You know yeah. what I mean? I'm going to put a little bit of this here. A little bit of that there, and then you know, so it has a beginning, a middle, and an end.
When you do records, do you ever just improvise solos, or are they all written?
No, my solos, I play them just like they were on the record.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah, so
because Tony Iommi's a guy that actually does a lot of improvising, even live, right? Like I know the Paranoid solo, he plays pretty much the same one every time, but a lot of the solos he doesn't always do the same.
I guess, but I mean, you know, when I listen to you know Lord Iommi's solos, I love his solo playing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And all the songs. So, yeah, but when I listen, you know, I mean, it's obviously we've all listened to Sabbath so much. I mean, those solos that he has in those songs, would name any song, whether it's Never Say Die or, you know, a solo to The Wizard. I mean, any mm-hmm. of them. I mean, mm-hmm. I expect to hear those. So, you know, to me, they're all memorable. So whether he was yeah. just improvising them off the cuff and he left it.
That's what I read he did. You know. I've never met Tony Iommi. And last question, are you a Yankees fan? How do you feel about him this year?
Oh, they're still, I mean, like put it this way.
See, the everything, toilet flushed right when I talked about the Yankees.
Everything they do is big. They win big. And when we're going to lose, we make sure we lose memorably big. So like put it this way, the sweep in Boston, that last game, mm-hmm. they could have won it. And, you know, with a 4-1 lead going into the eighth inning or whatever it was, you know, or ninth, and then blowing it, and then going into extra innings and losing. See, the thing is, the Yankees, they could have even lost it in ninth, but they didn't. They chose to go into extra innings and get your hopes up and then blow it. Because they could have just easily lost the game or just not even been ahead, just been losing the whole game. But in pure Yankee fashion,
yeah.
they could have just gotten beat 5-0, lost the whole time throughout the game. But instead, they were winning all the way to the end, going, well, at least they're not going to sweep us. And then what happens? They blow it. And in extra innings as well. They don't just lose normally.
Yes.
We lose, we do it big. Just like the Yankees win big, they lose. We lose awesomely big. Let's see you top that, suckers. You see what I'm saying? That's how the Yankees do it.
I do.
So, yeah, like they go, man, but you guys got swept. They go, but you didn't get swept like us, though, did you? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You gotta go
so we
all
still,
in. All
we,
in.
All in. If we're going to lose, we're all in. And yes. we lose to the point where you can't even top our losing. So we still win.
Perfect. Zach, thank you, man.
All right, my brother.
Thank you. Appreciate
Good
your
talking
time.
To you, brother.
Thanks, man. So there it is with Zach. What a guy. I really enjoyed that. It was a lot of fun. I love the baseball analogies. So many baseball analogies, which I can always get behind. I want to thank Zach again for taking the time to do that. And they're on tour now. Black Label Society is doing stuff. Ozzy is back on his Farewell No More tour. Make sure you get a ticket for that. You are not going to want to miss it. I think it's coming through Michigan just this week. So I'm going to be there, and it's going to be a great time and not to be missed.
As always, we will be back next week with another episode, brand new episode, episode 146, if you can believe it. We are just trucking along here, aren't we? Make sure you're subscribed, hit the subscribe button. And of course, if you want more, if you've listened to them all, even if you haven't, and you just want more, and you want to be a part of a great community, check out the All Access Club. I'll give you the link one more time. It's leadsingersyndrome.com/allaccess. I will leave you with a tune, and there is so much stuff I could play from Ozzy. I could hear some ripping solos or Black Label Society's immense catalog, Zach Sabbath. There's so much, so many things, but I'm going to go with a newer Black Label Society song. This is one that I literally thought it was Ozzy singing. So Zach doing his best to channel his inner Ozzy. I mean, whether he means to or not, it sounds just like him. Here is Seasons of Falter by Black Label Society on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love, and we'll see y'all next week.
Wind in this cold new design.